Sound cool? All right, let me start up. What is up, everybody? This is Jopper Papa Pump Penizai, aka Keep Your Eyes Off My Fatty Daddy. And with my main man, John DeMattmaz. How you doing, buddy?
Don't start nothing more being none.
And we got somebody really awesome on the podcast today. A good friend of the last individual we had on the podcast, Stephanie from Stupid Easy Paleo, we got Cassie Garcia. How you doing today?
I'm good. Hi, guys.
Hey, what's up? Let me say something. Cassie's smoking hot. I just want to put that out there, guys. So follow her on Facebook, Instagram, and I'll give you her cell phone number later.
Well, we really appreciate you having me on this evening. We're kind of having some difficulties lining up because of the crazy weather we're having here on the East Coast. But it looks like, the weather's pretty nice where you're at in Austin. We're kind of jealous right now.
Yeah, it's pretty nice. I'm a little bit further south right now in San Antonio, but I've got sunshine outside.
Oh, I love the San Antonio Riverwalk.
And looking into your eyes, all I feel is sunshine.
So if you don't mind, I'm familiar with your blog and your Instagram that we went through and rated and liked their pictures the other day. For some of our newer listeners out there, would you mind just kind of like filling us in on your blog and what you do and kind of like how it evolved into fedandfit.com?
Yeah, for sure. I guess it was around 2009 when I first stumbled on the paleo diet. The paleo lifestyle and decided to give it a go and totally flipped everything that I thought I knew about food and nutrition and about how to cook and what was good for me kind of on its head and turned my lifestyle around and just I lost about 10 dress sizes and then from that started to put together my own recipes, really delicious foods, and share those with my friends. And they decided that a blog would be a great idea, and it blossomed really organically from there. I became a nutrition consultant and started taking on my own clients and kind of empowering those people to make their own transformations. And the blog has become a nice house for all of my recipes and conversations I have with readers and people who are looking for help and assistance with whatever their next steps are.
Now, you said you yourself, making that change to a paleo lifestyle, you lost 10 dress sizes. Now, you know, I feel like wisdom and direct experience are the best ways to guide people. You know firsthand what works. Could you share with us where your weight was and where was it after you got into that paleo lifestyle? Because I really try to be an advocate of the paleo diet just for people to see such great results like yourself. So if you could just elaborate on where you were before you started it.
Yeah, so before paleo, I was, I've always really appreciated having a fitness routine, and I was a very active distance runner, but I was on the whole grain, low-fat bandwagon, and I couldn't figure out why I was so inflamed and why those diets weren't working. And so when I decided to just give another option a go by eliminating grains, so of course anything containing gluten being in there, all dairy, all processed sugars, and very minimal sweets outside of that, my body really responded. I was about a size 12, 14, and about 145, 150 pounds. And then after paleo, very strict form of paleo for about 9 months, I really only lost about 10 pounds. I converted a lot of that to muscle, and that was by way of CrossFit. I had recently discovered CrossFit. I started in some Muay Thai classes, actually, and loved those. And
God, I hate Muay Thai. I
was doing more speed work, and it just... Yeah, so just turned all that around, and that made the biggest difference, just combining both fitness and food. I think eliminating gluten is probably the number one thing that people can do if they're looking for that first step.
Oh, can you hear us?
Are you guys still there?
Yeah, we just turned off the video because for some reason it's just crushing the bandwidth.
Oh, no worries.
Sorry. Okay, cool. So my next question for you. Now, you said you're a nutritional consultant, really guiding people along into the paleo lifestyle. do you work with any athletes or any competitors? Like, currently, do you work just with the average individual, or
Muay Thai guys?
Muay Thai guys or CrossFit guys? Who is your average clientele?
Yeah, my average clientele actually is kind of America's workforce, is mostly who I work with. Now, granted, I have fellow athletes in CrossFit classes and other fitness classes that I participate in that ask for just tips and tricks and advice and meal plans and things like that, and what their next steps can be if they're at a plateau. But the majority of the people I work for are they're sitting at a desk all day, and they're working, and they're just trying to figure out a way that they can re-engineer their life to really help maximize their health.
I have a question for you. I know a big trend in like health and nutrition is a lot of people starting their own business where they're creating meal plans and they're making pre-made meals for like a couple days or for a couple weeks for some clients. Is that something that you're doing too to kind of help people along with their transition into like a healthy lifestyle?
No, I don't do that. I've thought about it. I've thought about doing meal prep and catering and things like that. And I've done a couple events, and they make me never want to do them again. I have a lot of respect for people who run those businesses. It's a lot of hard work. Where I really find the joy in my work is in developing new recipes, writing programs, and then speaking on large platforms. I do a lot of cooking demonstrations, for example, on television, things like that, just trying to help fold people into kind of a new way of thinking about their food and about how they can prepare it. That's really where what I enjoy doing most, and then giving them the tools to go home and cook for themselves. I think that that's an important step, as people sort of reconnect with their food and reconnect with their kitchen. And it's just a huge avenue to health if you're able to really jump that hurdle.
Now, how was your response, or the public's response, to you being on TV and kind of doing like a cooking and a health demonstration? I mean, like, you know, most people in our country, I mean, to be pretty frank, most people eat like shit. I mean, did you get a lot of negative pushback on that, or were people pretty receptive into like the new age of, you know, lifestyle?
Yeah, you know, it goes both ways. So a lot of my spots, for example, have been here in San Antonio and across South Central Texas. And it depends. If you're in a community like Austin, Texas, people are much more open and receptive, and paleo is a household name. Whereas in San Antonio, you really have to take baby steps when you're introducing these concepts. So I really just talk about gluten-free and really what that means. And then also try to talk about how some gluten-free products aren't exactly, they're not health foods, and to be aware of those. And so it's educating one piece at a time. So I would say that these cooking demos that I've done, some of these talks that I've had, it's just trying to gently fold people into thinking that this new way of eating isn't a health diet fad, for example. It's just about how to think critically about what you're putting on your plate. And people they're curious about that. They want to know more. I think that it's a curiosity point a lot of people have, and it seems really doable. The food looks really delicious. And so I would say that they've been really perceptive.
Now, I have a question for you. You know, individuals who really look into paleo, they know the why and the why not to do gluten. We didn't actually ask Stephanie this, so we might as well ask you, just so you can tell our listeners, why paleo? Why follow paleo?
Why follow paleo? So the idea is, I'll try to keep it short. the overall idea is, so us as human beings living in this modern world, we're interacting with a lot of different things in our environment, right? That kind of all contributes to what our load is that we're carrying around. So we eat toxic foods, we breathe toxic air, we drink toxic water. And so our toxic overhaul on our body is just kind of making us very sick. As time goes on, we start to become more inflamed, and we're just ill overall. And so the idea of a paleo diet is to kind of turn the clock back. Paleo is, I like to say, just a marketing term for just real food. Go back to where we were consuming real food that was prepared responsibly. The animals were raised responsibly. Cows ate grass, chicken ate chickens ate bugs, things like that, but find those food sources and then start to eat those as a way to clean up our life and clean up our diet and reduce our total load. So if you're able to kind of take a few straws off that camel's back, it can really help promote overall health. Does that help?
No, I think that's a big help. I mean, what do you feel about for some of maybe like some athletes or semi-professional athletes to get involved in the paleo diet? What are some simple lifestyle changes that one could make to kind of make that gradual step into the broader sense of the lifestyle?
Sure. It depends on the athlete. I think that there's sometimes is a lot of confusion around high carb versus low carb. People think that paleo is a low carb diet. And that's really not true. It's highly customized to what fits your needs, and what your needs are and what your output is and, what you're doing at the time. And so I would say that they could look at how they can clean up their carbs and their proteins and their fats. But number one conversation that I usually have with athletes is, about their supplement intake and just being a little bit more scrutinous about what you're really putting in your body, what your pre-workout, post-workout, and all of your other supplements that a lot of people take. Just kind of really start to read what's on the labels, and seek some better options, because there are some good ones out there. You just have to start looking.
Now, I'm sure you read the work of that one paleo follower, Rob Wolf,
yes. Correct?
Now, when I first got introduced to the paleo diet, you know, I myself being really involved in nutrition, I read his work, and I almost felt like it was so strict to the point that I didn't see individuals in the normal society really following it. I mean, he said no cheat days, you know, no ever bending a little bit. He was completely against pseudo grains like quinoa. He didn't like sweet potatoes or potatoes. What is your opinion on that? Having somebody as like him being super strict on it, and I noticed you and Stephanie have more of I don't want to say a less strict approach to it, but more of an understanding approach.
Yeah. Okay. So Rob Wolf, when Rob authored the Paleo Solution, because it was groundbreaking in a lot of ways, and there were some other publications out there, but that was his take on it at the time. I've heard him speak a couple of times since then. And the most memorable thing that he said at one point was, optimal nutrition is almost, it's at the center of a bullseye, in so to speak. And what we're trying to do as nutrition scientists and as people who are just living and breathing and trying to find our best possible solution is we're trying to hit that center of the bullseye, and we're getting closer overall as a community. You know, 10 years ago, we thought that being a vegetarian was the best, most healthful decision we can make as far as achieving lifelong wellness. And now we know that that's not the case. And then paleo pops up on the radar 6-7 years ago. And so since he published that book, people have started to open up their eyes and adapt and really figure out a way to make this really awesome template applicable to a wider group of people, whether that's athletes or people who are actually living on paleo for years at a time. They found a way to make it work for themselves. And so my opinion is I think it's a very individual choice. However you want to make the paleo approach, so to speak, fit your needs, it's you have to walk through it, and you have to figure out what your body really responds to and what your needs are, and then just make sure that you're meeting those, because you know your body best, and at the end of the day, that's all that really matters is what you think you need.
Now, you're saying that you know yourself the best. What kind of things have you incorporated into your lifestyle that are paleo-esque, that are some of your favorite things, like some of your favorite foods on a day-to-day basis?
On a day-to-day basis, well, I'm sipping sparkling water. I was a soda drinker for a long time, and then I switched to diet sodas when I thought that that was the health choice. And so I really like something fizzy and effervescent. I really enjoy it, so I drink a lot of sparkling water. And I think that for people who are trying to kick soda or diet soda. I think that that's a really great option. A lot of water and sparkling water. I eat a lot of beef jerky and kale chips. I like snacks, crunchy, salty foods. And I think that it's good to also interpret your cravings. If someone is sitting there and they're thinking, gosh, all I want are some potato chips and queso or tortillas or whatever it is. Obviously, I'm from San Antonio, so that's where my brain goes is tortillas and queso. But try to reinterpret those cravings. If it's the chips that you're craving, tortilla chips, maybe you need something crunchy and salty, and you can really meet that need with the kale chip or something along those lines. And I like to just encourage people to redirect their cravings to a healthier alternative, and then a lot of the times they're really surprised by it really satisfies whatever they were looking for.
Now, I know you said you work with some CrossFit athletes. So let's say we have somebody going into the CrossFit Games, being that they're probably doing multiple workouts for that competition and leading up to it, they're probably doing several very hard workouts. How would you adapt the paleo diet for that individual?
That's again a very individual choice. It's hard to answer that question. You know, reading what all of the CrossFit Games athletes eat, I remember a lot of them were asked if they followed a paleo diet in an article I read, and I think 1 in 50 said yes, which is interesting. And I think what they mean by that is they don't follow a strict paleo diet, so to speak, but when you're at that level of effort and that activity that many times a day, you need a lot of carbs, a lot of really healthy, nutrient dense foods, and whatever they like at the time is I think what they need. So I hate to answer your question that way, but I think it's a really individual choice and it would depend on the person.
So now here's another question. Now, besides being a nutritional consultant, and I'm sure you read a lot of literature on, diet nutrition, what is your background? Just so the person at home, you know, they're wondering about you. What's your background? Are you basically an individual who just is enthralled with the subject and reads on it all the time? Have you taken courses? What's your complete bio if you were to give me one?
Yeah. Okay. Well, my total bio is I went to Texas A&M University in College Station, so I'm an Aggie. And I graduated there, actually, I was pre-med, but I graduated with a degree in entomology, which is the study of bugs, and that was something really fun to study while I was really focused on a lot of other pre-med type classes. And since graduation, healthcare was always a main focus of mine, and I was headed to med school but decided to take a year to work for a physician who was practicing what I thought I wanted my practice to look like. And I learned through that experience that what I was looking for, the connection I was looking for with patients, was really in that consulting room. And a lot of it, the majority of it, had to do with diet and exercise. And so I decided to redirect, and I've pursued my certification as nutrition consultant, which is a whole other sort of degree program. And since then, I mean, it was a hobby for a really long time, and it was one of those things I just love to learn as much as I can about the subject. And then the courses come up, you learn as much as you can about it, take your certification, and just start working and practicing and working with people. And so I've been doing that for about 3 to 4 years now, working under Fed and Fit, but working with individuals, also developing corporate wellness programs, and trying to bring that to a much broader market group of people.
So you got all your academic classes in, and you do your internship and pre-med and all that stuff, and then you started Fed and Fit, and I'm on your website right now, and I'm just looking, and you have like a million different products here, or a million different recipes. You have chicken fingers, dips, salads, pastas, chickens, heavy chocolate mousse, delicious, gummies. Like, how much time do you spend doing this? Because this is pretty intense and it's pretty elaborate. I mean, and it seems like you have a full-time job as well.
Yeah. I spend a great deal of time on it. I like to say by by day, I work in marketing and business development, and also part of that is the corporate wellness program development. And then by night, I write, develop recipes, photograph, things like that. It takes a good deal of time. I would say I probably put in about, I mean, it's another full-time job, really, at the end of the day, because you work straight through the weekends, and I'm sure you guys can identify. But it's what I love to do. It's really, it's my passion and my calling. And I think that that's really why I'm here, is to help educate and provide really delicious recipes that are not intimidating. So all my recipes I break down with step-by-step photography, for example, because I think I'm one of those nervous cooks. I can't really just pick up a recipe and approach it and not be shy and not be nervous about how it's going to turn out. And so what I like to do is provide stepwise instructions so that the home cook who's trying to pursue maybe a grain-free or a gluten-free or a paleo lifestyle, it's a different way of cooking, and that way it's a little less intimidating. So it takes a lot of time, but I really enjoy it, and I think and the responses I get are what make me want to keep doing it. It's been a really heartwarming experience overall.
What's been your most popular recipe that people are just like nonstop, you know, emailing you or Facebooking you or Instagramming you about? Is there one particular one that was like, that just like set it off?
Yeah, I would say if we rewind the clock a little bit, one of the recipes that really set it up was I have a chocolate chip walnut cookie recipe that people just went bananas over. And it's really good. All I did truly, though, was I had a cookie recipe that I, as a child, memorized and just made over and over again. And I just took that and adapted it to a paleo framework. So it's paleo friendly, because some people will argue there's honey, for example, in that cookie recipe, that honey isn't paleo because it's a sugar. And so I like to say that it's paleo friendly, and they're delicious. They taste like cookies. They look like cookies, and they feel like cookies. And so people are really loving those. But recently, I actually did a guest recipe for Steph over at Stupid Easy Paleo, those buffalo, crispy buffalo chicken fingers. And people are really loving those. And that's a really good example of how to kind of reverse engineer one of our favorite foods. You take a crispy buffalo chicken finger, which is one of my favorite foods, and instead of using breadcrumbs and frying it and then using whatever is in the buffalo sauce, we took it and turned it into an egg wash buffalo coating, dipped it in that, and then we used crushed up pork rinds as the crunchy outer texture. And people are making them, and they're just loving them. And so it's been really fun to see that people are kind of, they're putting new recipes in their repertoire and just having more fun in the kitchen.
I'd like to put you in my repertoire. Now, okay. All right, so this is what I want to ask you, a two-part question. You ready?
I'm ready.
All right. Would you say you eat 100% paleo, or you indulge once in a while?
Oh, I definitely am not 100% paleo.
Okay, so now, because me and John over here, we probably eat 80% paleo, I would say. And
lately, yeah.
Yeah, and I would say if you had to choose one food that's non-paleo, that is just your dream food, that's just like, yeah, that's what I'm going to cheat on today. What is it for you?
I'm a pizza and beer girl.
Nice. Any kind of specific pizza?
Do what?
Any kind of specific pizza?
I don't know. Something with a lot of yummy meat and cheese and ranch dressing on the side. That's my favorite.
Have you ever had New Jersey pizza?
No.
Have you, better question, have you ever eaten New Jersey pizza off a short 5'5" guy? Yes,
yeah, I can't say that I have.
First time for everything. So now we gotta ask, are there any other big projects that you're working on that are on the way or on the back burner right now?
Yeah, I've got a couple that I'm working on. I've got a couple ebook concepts, just trying to bring sort of a much more approachable paleo-friendly template to a couple different groups of people, and that's definitely in its infancy. Also in its infancy is a cookbook that I'm kind of working on, so I guess off the record working on it, and then just kind of going to see where that goes. And then I'm also getting ready to launch my YouTube series, a bunch of cooking video demonstrations, just trying to bring fun back into the kitchen, and a lot of fun little factoids as well. Thinking more Bill Nye the Science Guy or Alton Brown in the kitchen.
Do you want to have some like semi good looking guys on your YouTube channel? I mean,
I would love that.
That may or may not have weird ears.
Yes.
That's especially then. Yes, y'all are more than welcome to come.
You know what? And if you did have a son, I could teach you Muay Thai. And I could teach you how to fall in love.
Oh. That's so sweet.
Now, I gotta ask you, what are your future goals? What's, like, in 5 years, where do you see yourself?
In 5 years, I would say that, oh, man, my dream really is to build a framework that allows other nutrition consultants to sort of work within that real food paleo template, and just kind of provide an access for them to really to connect with clients and not have to worry about the larger infrastructure. So that's really what I want to build on that end. And then I don't know, the cooking demonstrations and developing recipes and photography, that is just so much fun. And I have no idea where that'll lead, but it's one of those, I'm just doing it because I know that it's definitely something that I enjoy and it's something that I get good feedback from. So I really don't know where that's going to lead me in 5 years, but building a business as a nutrition consultant is something that I've thought about.
Well, we'll start to wrap it up for you because we've been kind of like using up all your precious corporate America time, but We appreciate having you on. We do have one set of questions left. This has kind of like been our little specialty segment. First, we'd like to ask you, do you have any shout-outs you'd like to give? Sponsors, websites, any upcoming engagements or speaking events or anything that you might have going? This is your time.
Okay. Well, I mean, people to sponsors and people to think. The list is pretty long, but this past January, myself and then a group of good friends that we sat on a committee together started the first National Gluten-Free Day. And that is set to occur the second Monday of every January. And our sponsors then were Elite CrossFit here in San Antonio, Texas. They're just a phenomenal group of people. They were one of the first CrossFit boxes here and really served as a launch pad for myself and a bunch of others. But Whole Foods was also participating there. So they've always been really helpful and supportive of what we've been working on. But things that we've got coming up right now, it's one of those, I'm in those phases of doing a lot of work offline. And just waiting to see what happens this fall. Going to really enjoy the summer, buckle down, get some good work done, take some good pictures, and see where it goes.
All right, awesome. So now our last part is our random question, where both of us ask you one random question, and you have to answer it truthfully, okay?
Okay.
All right, so John's up first.
Why do I always have to go first? I always get put on the spot. All right, you live in San Antonio. You're on the Riverwalk. You've had 7 to 13 margaritas. Have you ever fell in the river?
I've never fallen in the river. You know, we were always told growing up that there was an alligator in the river. And so not only have I never fallen in the river, but I've always kind of just walked a little bit farther away from it because I know it's one of those things I was told as a little girl, but it just really scarred me. And so I'm terrified of the river, actually.
Okay, so I have a second part to my question. Have you ever pushed anybody in the river?
No, okay. I've never pushed
All right, so I have a two-part question. The first part, do you have a boyfriend?
I do have a boyfriend.
All right, let's pretend he didn't exist, okay? All right, let's pretend he didn't exist, right? Okay, so here's my question.
Okay.
Okay, so there's like 10 guys trying to mug you for your wallet, and I jump in and I start beating them all up. And then, like, I carry you out of there, and my shirt's all ripped up, and I'm looking really good. I got this luscious V of hair going from my chest pubes down to my... Okay, so I'm just looking good. And okay. When I carry you back to your place, Would you invite me in after I saved your life?
I mean, to share a cup of tea?
God, nuts. I am striking out every single time.
I mean, I would definitely want to thank you, and I would probably pour you a cup of coffee or tea or something.
Well, I love you, but that's bullshit.
No, that is. That's a gracious Southern hospitality.
I appreciate that, though.
All right, Cassie, we thank you so much. You guys can check out her blog at fedandfit.com. She's got all social media, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. She's got some awesome recipes, beautiful photography. And then you can see our ugly faces at facebook.com/badguymuaythai. You can catch us on Instagram and Twitter as well.
And let me close out by saying I will never give up on you, Cassie. Never.
Awesome, guys. Thank you so much.
All right, take care. Have a good one.
Bye, you too. Stay dry.